I am Les Kirkendall Barrett, and this is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them as best we can, anyway. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
This week we are talking about the movie The Wrong Roommate, and I definitely have opinions about this movie.
But you were not even ready to talk about it just yet, and you sound defeated.
Oh,
yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, to start with, it was very long. Yeah. I don't know how this movie got so long.
It was the same length as all the other movies that we watch. It just felt long.
No, yeah. It was longer.
No.
Because some of these movies are like, without commercials, they're like an hour and 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
This was
like
too.
An hour 45.
No, this is an hour 27. I don't know what version you watched.
Because mine was like an hour 47.
Yeah, 47. We must have been watching the feature version.
Wow. I guess.
Okay.
And there was no, because I thought, oh, they must like restart the movie at some point. How could it be this long? But it was.
No, it was, and they cut the commercials out and everything.
Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah.
But rumor has it that we have some Lori Loughlin news.
Oh. And now it's time for the Loughlin Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Maintaining their innocence, Lori Loughlin and Massimo Gianalli's lawyer called the accusations against them in the nationwide college admissions scandal baseless in new court documents obtained by Us Weekly and then obtained by Us, which is not to be confused with Us Weekly. They're innocent of the charges brought against them and eager to clear their names, the document says, and they believe their interests will be advanced most effectively by pursuing a united front against the government's baseless accusations. Lori Loughlin wants to expose USC's admissions practices and looks forward to her day in criminal court.
Wow.
Oh.
I feel like we're all watching an episode of Perry Mason right now. That is very dramatic.
I tell you, yeah.
So she means business.
Well, never mind that. What was my news report? Because as I was saying, I want to try to segue this into a CNN gig. I could be the next Anderson Cooper.
It was very good. It was very succinct.
Oh, good.
I think you need to be a little more conversational. If you watch the news now, everything's very laid back. Like some newscasts, they don't even wear a tie anymore. They have them standing instead of sitting at a desk. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not wearing a tie. Huh? Okay, good.
So I can't believe
this Lori Loughlin. Yeah.
I can't. So she's still, she is still like sticking to her story.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're pleading not guilty, it's your lawyer's job to be the face of this case in the press and stand by your plea. Like, yeah, my client is, why would you think my client's guilty?
True. But after Felicity Huffman threw herself on the mercy of the court, Lori, I wish you luck. Yeah.
Well, you also have to imagine in the court of public opinion, this is being tried as one case, but these are all individual cases with individual circumstances. So, you know, some of the charges are going to be different from person to person.
Right.
Not saying that she is innocent or guilty, just saying that judge has to look at only the facts in her case.
Right. I still say if she gets off, I bet she's going on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Either way.
I'm sure that call has already been made.
For sure. Like, Maxim is ready to go with her.
Wow.
But that's not the only news we have. We also have...
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Okay, I'm going to try to sound more conversational. Here we go. Okay, Rob Kardashian was trying to keep their daughter Dream off of Blac Chyna's TV show. And before that, he was trying to get his child support lowered. He's paying Blac Chyna $20,000 a month in child support.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
And so, but then she said he wasn't paying anything at all. Now, Hollywood Life reported one day ago that Blac Chyna says that Rob Kardashian is a, quote, nice guy, end quote, and claims they are now, quote, in a good place, end quote. But I've got a little other news here. The Los Angeles County Attorney's Office confirmed to Page Six on Wednesday that due to insufficient evidence, Blac Chyna will not be prosecuted for allegedly throwing the – threatening her hairstylist with a knife.
Oh.
The unnamed stylist won't face any charges either. I think we talked about that before.
Yes, we did. And it was on tape.
So this is the – right. This is the follow-up on that. Charges will not be pressed.
Did we ever figure out why she threatened the hairdresser? Like, did the hairdresser give her a bad cut? Like, what happened?
A bad weave or something.
Maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
I
don't know. Allegedly.
Allegedly, but you know,
Ed Weave.
You know, Blac Chyna's looks are very important to her. You've got to like throw down and you know, protect your product, which is your hair in her case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about Blac Chyna, but I did a search on her and it is a deep dive.
Okay.
There are news stories every 3 days of this Blac Chyna character.
What was the most fascinating thing to you that you found out about Blac Chyna?
Oh, just not really anything.
There must have been like some crazy
any
story.
Information
that,
about her.
There must have been some story that you read. You're like, oh, really?
No, I mean, just that there's a wealth of news, and we can cover Blac Chyna every single week, as well we should, because our audience is apparently wants to know about Blac Chyna.
All I got to say is she's another success story. She started on the pole, and look at her today.
She should run for president.
Dreams do come true.
Those are different kinds of polls.
Oh, different, right. Yeah, that's right. Different kinds of polls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know you want to be good in the polls if you're running for office.
Can you imagine that strippers get confused and they hear polling station and they go and they're like, wait, we're not at the right spot here.
She's from the poll that every dad wants to keep his daughter away from. That poll.
Got it. A tadpole, right?
Yes, yes. Our movie.
Yes.
My microphone dropped. Oh boy, I've got 7 pages of notes. My cat sat on my last page of notes, and it's got poop stains on it.
Oh no!
Can you see it?
I feel like that is a metaphor.
She's.
Oh,
what am I going to do? I'll throw it out after this is over. Boy.
All I got to say this movie is called The Wrong Roommate, and let's put emphasis on wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I'm sensing neither of you liked it.
Well,
you go first, Kurt.
I've been thinking about Eric Roberts all day because when I watched this movie, I completed watching this movie last night. Mostly Eric Roberts I think about. Then I think about the actor, the character Mark. I think I just think about the guys because it's quite an array.
The casting was weird in this movie. And the biggest question I have is why was Eric Roberts in this?
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
But beyond like he needed a paycheck. Because clearly that's what this was.
But then
of course. But you know what the deal is with there was an article about Eric Roberts. It was either like the New Yorker or somewhere. And it talked about how he'll do maybe it was Esquire. It says he'll do anything. He acts in anything. He acts in real estate movies, like really high end houses that are for sale and they make a video of like just like a family in the house. He does that.
Wow. I had no idea.
Anything you offer him, he'll do it.
Is that just so he can say that he's more prolific than Julia? Like, I genuinely wonder why that is.
He did like 100 movies last year or something like that.
100 movies?
I mean, it's an incredible amount because he does – because as you can tell in this movie, which we'll get to, he probably shot all his scenes in, I mean, maybe like half a day. Because it looks – because he's never – he's rarely in a shot with anybody else.
I didn't make note of that specifically. I just made note of the fact that you never see his eyes because he wears sunglasses in literally every moment he's on screen.
Everything. Because everyone.
I think they're doing cue cards. I think they hold up. They're holding up cue cards and he's reading the lines. I think he puts so little effort into this.
Oh my god.
Okay. First of all,
I've been thinking about this for hours.
Every man in this movie was a creep. Every single one.
Yeah, that's true. True.
Everyone. The good ones, the bad ones, they were all creeps.
Yes.
All of them.
True.
Okay. Okay. I guess let's
maybe we
start.
Should just start getting this. Yeah.
All right.
We should point out this is,
if it wasn't clear, this was a Lifetime movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a Lifetime movie. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh boy, was it ever.
Normally Lifetime movies, no matter how taxing they are, normally Lifetime movies are so bonkers I end up liking them anyway, regardless.
And that was my problem with this movie is that it wasn't bonkers enough.
No, it was not.
It was like it would be super bonkers, like having Eric Roberts constantly in sunglasses, but then they would try and ground certain elements in reality, and it's like, if you're going to go off the deep end, then live off the deep end.
Right. You know, watch, what was the one that we saw, Psycho Granny?
Psycho Granny. That was the epitome of how you do a proper Lifetime movie.
You know,
This was a little bit off the rails.
Oh, this was off the rails. I mean, it was bonkers, but there would be moments where they would like try and justify things that if you left them unjustified, the movie would be much more enjoyable.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I knew
from
the first second this movie came on, I knew there was going to be a problem with this movie because the first shot was with Vivica A. Fox with a very bad wig.
Yeah, it was bad. Maybe she went to Black China's hairdresser.
I'm sorry.
And it was like a very, very bad wig. And I am a Vivica A. Fox fan, first of all. And Vivica A. Fox is basically like the female Eric Roberts. She works, and she works a lot.
What is her fan army called?
Ooh, I don't know.
Are they like the Foxies?
Is there such a thing?
Like every like big superstar has like a fan army, and they always have like a fun name,
right?
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know.
Or like
the Vivica A. Foxies,
And no matter what you see, no matter what movie you see Vivica in, her hair is always on point. I don't care whether she's playing, you know, a ghetto character or a corporate character or a homeless character, her hair is always on point. Not today.
Do you think she showed up and she found out that Eric Roberts had it written into his contract that, hey, I don't really need to fully appear on screen. You can kind of hide me by putting me in sunglasses in every scene. And Vivica's like, well, then I want a wig. I don't want people to know this is me.
No, I think they kept anything regarding Eric Roberts away from everybody else, even information that he was involved.
Like, the call sheet is just his name on it.
Right.
No, he wasn't even on the call. He was there for a day. He never crossed paths with Vivica A. Fox on this thing.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I didn't even know he was in this. So they didn't even...
Let me tell you, I got so excited. His name showed up in the credits. I was like, Eric Roberts, I'm in.
but they didn't go like, you know, it wasn't like an Eric Roberts film. It was just, he just showed up.
I think that's what he's doing these days.
Wow.
So we start out with Vivica in her bad wig.
It's a whole different kind of runaway train.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And she's looking at this camera footage, at camera footage, and she's looking very serious and not happy. And they are looking, they're looking at this footage and they're looking at a car. And does she say some, oh, someone says, I know who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the woman who's the lead, but I forget what her character name is.
Lori.
Yeah. She says, I recognize him. He's my ex-fiance, Mark Dupree.
And then they do the standard Lifetime movie trope. They then flash back to 2 weeks earlier.
It's 4 weeks earlier. Yeah, it's 4 weeks. I guess it doesn't really matter.
Was it four?
It was four.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So 4 weeks earlier. We see women walking. We see two women walking, Lori and her friend Janice. And Janice is giving Lori a pep talk. And this is Lori's first day of teaching college. But did you guys notice how they kind of infantilized the students in this college?
There were some weird things about... So, first of all, she kept saying, like, oh, you're a teacher, teacher, teacher. At a college level, aren't you normally referred to as professor?
Right.
And they only used that word, like, once. Every other time they said, like, oh, teaching in her class. And then they would talk about the students in sort of, like, a childlike way. It was weird. Right.
And then there were some weird boundary issues going on between the teachers and the students as well.
Yeah. They're very, like, chummy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like the teacher like knew all of the guy, like this guy Billy comes up and like she knew all of Billy's classes and his schedule, and it was very weird.
My favorite thing about this college though was that there were no actual insides to buildings.
Never.
That's right.
Every
I just realized that
every scene at the college took place outdoors, even the classes. She's teaching class outdoors. And it was a lit class. It wasn't like a nature class.
I didn't pick up on that, but that was – yeah, there was something that didn't sit well with me, and that was it. Well, I think they said it was summer school, whatever that – but
it was like summer session, but you would still
– college summer school.
I could see maybe like, oh, it's nice. Let's go outside today. But there were like more than one class that we saw where they were sitting outside the whole time.
It's probably hot out. No, because it was so much easier for them just to shoot outside using natural light, I guess. How cheap. Like,
oh,
never even go inside the place.
Yeah. They made some reference to – it was actually smart that they wrote a piece of dialogue in about how since it's summer session, there aren't going to be a lot of people on campus right now. It was a way to justify like, hey, we can't afford a lot of extras here.
Yeah, right. Why didn't they just say that? You know, we can't afford a lot of extras this year, so I guess enrollment's going
to
be low.
You know, their money went to the Eric Roberts sunglass fund.
And so,
Eric Roberts, he shows up at this point.
Yes.
Which,
and then one more thing. We get the vibe that Janice is Lori's like party girlfriend.
Yeah,
like she's like down for anything, and she's just like, come on, girl. You know,
awesome.
She's that friend. And so yes, Eric Robert shows up, and he's wearing a pair of sunglasses that they were kind of rose colored. Did you ever watch that movie back in the day, The Miracle Worker?
I know of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Helen Keller story.
Yeah, it was like the Helen Keller story, and it was starring Patty Duke.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for it, didn't she?
Yeah, and so the teacher actually she was blind, like she was sighted a little bit, and so she had to wear like these rose tinted glasses everywhere, and that's what Eric Roberts' glasses reminded me of, like these because it was like just these weird rose tinted glasses.
He was probably filming a remake of The Miracle Worker at the same time as this. And he's like, yeah, I'm not changing outfits. I'm just going to go back and forth.
Right. And then
I thought he looked like Roy Orbison with gray hair. And he has a weird way, like, because he kind of talks like I listen. I don't really want to insult the guy, but he talks like maybe he had a stroke. Hi there, how you doing? It's me, Eric Roberts. And he has a weird smile on his face the whole time.
And he's talking to her like, and he's very creepy. Like, he's like, hi, if you want an old man's perspective.
I was unclear.
Plays Lara.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, the actress who plays Lara is the only actor who actually works with him in a scene. Because I watched this very carefully. She's the only one who actually shares a scene with him. Otherwise, it's just him in the frame whenever he's
no,
working.
No, no. The other chick was there too. Because he walked up.
Yeah.
But what I was unclear on is. They made it seem like this was a new job for Lori, her first day of teaching, but it seemed like Eric Roberts knew her. They were very chummy already.
Yeah.
So I was curious how they knew, because he wasn't her boss, so how did they know each other if they hadn't worked together yet?
Right.
It's the weirdest thing it's relationship-wise, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And like
– Okay, go ahead, Les.
No. I was just going to say, even though he was creepy, she didn't seem like she was creeped out.
Yeah.
No. Like, is he – sometimes it seems like he's hitting on her, but he's not. It seems like he's almost like a family member to them, but he's not. It's really weird.
Yeah, I think they wanted to set him up as, like, a mentor, but because they didn't make it clear that she somehow knew him already, it came off as creepy when we first met him.
Yeah.
throughout the entire movie.
So then the next scene, Lori is like frantically grading papers, right? And then we hear the Lifetime scary music, which means the villain or the creep or whoever is going to show up, right? And so she looks outside and, you know, of course there's like that, it's that Lifetime. She thinks she hears something, but she looks outside, and then there's nothing. And then she walks outside, and she's looking for Ricky. And then Ricky jumps out behind the bush and scares her. And Ricky is her niece.
Yes.
And Ricky's kind of giving her shit, too, you know, calling her old lady. And then we find out that Lori is Ricky's aunt, and she's kind of basically babysitting her.
Yeah, she's watching the house for the summer, and part of the deal was, hey, watch my daughter.
Okay, one thing I did like is when Lori was like, Ricky, were you out here smoking? And she's like, no, I'm vaping.
Right.
I thought it was funny because they made it seem like that was somehow worse than smoking.
Right.
Yeah.
I also thought it was funny that Ricky, who was supposed to be 17, looked like she was about 30.
Yes.
Really? I thought she looked that old.
Not that old, but she definitely looked decidedly not 17.
She was mature.
Right.
Well, she looked like the same age as Lori. I thought she looked the same age.
You thought they were the same age? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, there were some scenes, I don't know about you guys, but there were some scenes where I couldn't tell if it was Ricky or Janice.
Really? I didn't have that problem.
A couple of times.
Well, Ricky had dark hair at least, right? Janice yeah. was blonde, so it'd be confusing her with Lori, which comes in handy later in the movie.
Okay.
So, we find out that Ricky's also having daddy issues as well, because she's waiting for her dad to call. Her dad never called. And then she starts talking to Lori, and we find out that Lori has just broken up with her fiancé.
Mark. Who cheated on her.
Yes.
Well, like, men are from Mars, the women are from Venus, or however which way it goes. And she says, Mark is from the planet asshole.
Yes.
I have a funny aside about that book, by the way.
What's that? Okay, let's
hear it. This is a long time ago. This is back in the 90s, and it was like right after the OJ trial wrapped. And I was in a bookstore called Crown Books, which is no longer around. And my roommate worked there at the time. And I was like chatting with him. And I stepped aside because this woman was coming up to pay. And she turned away for a second. And my roommate kind of points at her. He's like, "That's Marcia Clark." So she's standing in front of me. She was buying two copies of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And then, like, the person that rung her up, who wasn't my roommate, forgot to take the security tags off. So then she, like, set up the security alarm two copies of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Poor Marcia.
I know.
Marcia.
So we find out that Lori's a literature teacher.
Yeah.
And they're like, I guess, because they were talking about Camus.
Wait, can we get back to Mark for a second?
Sure.
He was very unattractive.
Very.
Like Mark? Well, yeah. He hasn't showed up yet, right?
No, he just
did. Well, he shows up at this part. This is where he does show up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, this is where he does show up, yeah.
Yeah, he shows up at the house, good. And that's how we find out that he cheated. He had a weird haircut. Like, he wasn't super ugly, but Lori was way out of his league.
Right, and he had a weird haircut, and his clothes were too big.
He was just odd looking. He shows up, I don't know how he got in the house. I guess somebody left a window unlocked or whatever, and he got himself in. Yeah, he looks like he has some kind of brain damage. Some kind of head injury.
He did seem a little, not slow, but just off.
Nothing against people who have brain damage.
Oh, no.
But this guy seemed like he had
And, like, looking at him, I was like, no wonder she left you. This isn't even, like, a question of why she left you. You're gross.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny because in that moment we fight, like, she, you know, calls him out for, like, you cheated on me. And I'm like, wait, what?
Right, exactly.
Too. I'm like, wait, some other woman was with this guy?
What's going on? Didn't just bag you? He's got a side piece, too? What is going on?
Right.
You know, it's like, God, I thought, well, it's weird. I guess, you know. I guess sometimes there are some real life situations that are this weird, but
right. And then through this, we find out she's talking to Mark, we find out that she's basically just staying here until she gets on her feet. You know, transitional relationship, post relationship housing, which I can relate to because I've been in that situation before.
Right,
but.
Post-relationship housing.
Yeah, you know how when you have to move out of the house.
Right.
And you still need to make the money to pay the first and last.
Oh, boy.
And so you stay at a friend's house until you get the money.
Yeah.
I've done that. So then, she and Mark basically fight, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the next scene, we see Ricky... And she's jogging with a guy.
He's hot. And,
okay, so this is where I had a little...
What do you guys think of this guy?
Oh, hot, hot, hot. But, okay, so I felt a little taken aback because he, the actor that played Alan, which is his name, and the actress that played Lori... played brother and sister on One Life to Live.
Really?
Yes.
So this had an extra layer of creepy to you then.
Yes, because I was like, oh my God.
Didn't we have that in another Lifetime movie too, where they were like, someone was romantically involved in the movie, but they were siblings on a show?
I think so.
I feel like we had a Lifetime movie a few weeks ago, or maybe a Hallmark movie.
Maybe.
And so, yes, because they were brother and sister on One Life to Live until her character was killed by the music box killer.
The music box killers?
Yes, and he killed a person. He was a serial killer, and after he killed the person, he'd put a music box next to them.
Would it have the – like, was there a signature tune, or was it just different every time?
No, the signature tune. That okay. tune. It was like a classical that. Da, na, 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 na. What is it called?
See, like, how many places do they sell music boxes? Like, you could pretty much track down who's buying all this crap.
He's got an account at Things Remembered, and he's just ringing it up.
And this is the kicker to the music box murders, and it made total sense. Because then the murderer, the serial killer, turned out to be gay. And I was like, of course, come on. Who else is going to put a music box next to someone after he kills them?
Is that a gay trait? I never even considered
it.
It is not.
I can tell you definitively, it is not.
It is not, but okay. I was like, okay, this actually kind of makes sense, though. Like, for dramatic reasons, we're going to put a music box next to her.
Was it the kind, like, with the little ballerina that would pop up?
Yes, it was that. Yes.
I was going to say, I hope straight people know to don't appropriate music box murders.
But that being said, he was hot. He was way hotter than he was on One Life to Live.
Oh,
he's
really?
Working out.
Okay, good for him.
He's a little bit of an odd actor, but I did notice, I thought, could you humanly have a better physique than this person
has? Oh, yeah, for sure.
And having said that, like, you could? This guy was ripped.
No, he was hot. He was very hot. Ripped isn't necessarily the word. He was muscular, but ripped is like when you see 8 million little abs. Like, he didn't have that.
No, I thought this guy was.
No, he was. He had a fantastic body. Don't get me wrong. He just there. I've seen more. Shredded. He was ripped, not shredded. You're right.
Okay.
And so
I was just thinking, if he takes a picture, he gets a picture of himself from like waist up or whatever. Send that to agents. As long as he can read, he's gonna get some work. I mean, they're gonna throw him in something.
If that were the case, then half the people on Grindr would have agents.
Really?
Yeah. Because a lot of the shirtless torsos.
And the thing is,
Grindr, you said?
Yeah.
I don't know who's on Grindr.
Well. Let me tell you. All I have to say is, one year during my single summer, I was at Indie Fringe, and Grindr worked out very well in Indianapolis, I tell you.
Do like when I leave LA, it's like I'm hot in Cleveland.
Seriously.
Wow. It's like my phone catches fire the minute I open Grindr up.
Wow. Grindr works. I'll tell you that.
So it tracks your location. Actually, I know that. I just didn't know how else to respond. So.
Yeah.
So he was a creep too, but he was so hot, it actually like kind of took the creepy factor away. Like, so he, because of his hotness, no matter what he did, to me he was 50% creepy instead of 100% creepy. Now he was creepy, but so this is another part that I had a problem with, because we find out that he is staying, like, this is her sister's house, and we find out that he is staying in her sister's guest cottage. But her sister never told her, oh, hey, someone's going to be staying in my guest cottage. Ricky, who lived there, didn't know that someone was going to be staying
in the guest.
No,
Ricky did know. They justified it. Yeah. Because when Lori questioned, like, why didn't my sister never mention this? Ricky's like, oh, yeah, my mom put that in a note, but I never gave it to you because there were certain rules in there.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But then, all right. But then, wouldn't, okay, I am not a parent. But if I was a parent, especially of a teenage daughter, wouldn't you call at least once just to check to see how things were going?
Or, I don't know, a text?
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Just left a note.
Right. But wouldn't you call to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? How's everything? You know, you guys getting along?
By the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I this mother is a bad mother because she never called.
I loved that the apartment where Alan was staying, they kept referring to it as an attic. It wasn't an attic. It was like an upstairs apartment on top
cool
of the guest
apartment.
House. Yeah. But it was like there were like it was a regular outdoor staircase. You walk in. It's a normal full-size apartment. But they referred to it several times as an attic. And I just picture like the Brady Bunch with like the beaded curtain.
Right.
And like the low ceiling because you're like right under the roof there. But it wasn't.
And
so, you know, they're kind of making sexy eyes at each other, which I was kind of like, ooh. ew. But then she invites him for lunch for her famous tuna salad.
Not a euphemism.
And
No. Nobody wants that. No. No.
By the way, seriously, Nicki Minaj or Cardi B, you need to write a song called Tuna Salad. You're welcome.
Immediately.
Yes.
Immediately. Cardi, I want to hear a rap. Yes. Yes. So then I keep on writing like, then Ricky gave mixed signals as well. Because at this point, Ricky was trying to set them up.
Yes. She walks away.
Right.
She says, you two have fun.
Right. And so we find out, like, he just went through a breakup as well. We find out that he's an artist, and that's why he's in the house. He's working on his art. And they do the numbers exchange thing. And then there was like a potential dinner invitation thrown out there. Oh, wait, was there a dinner? Well, I have cooking dinner.
I don't know.
Yeah, something about that. Numbers. I don't remember. Yeah, it was during the number exchange of like, well, you know, in case there's anything with the house, we should probably have each other's numbers.
Right. Yeah. She says,
but it was clear they were hitting on each other.
Says, call me.
Yeah.
So then Lori's giving Janice the lowdown, and Janice is basically like the Samantha Jones character of this, you know. So Janice is like, so what do you do about it? And
she rated him a 9.5. I rated him a 9.5.
Which she's got like pretty strict, she's got like high standards if he's a 9.5. I'd love to see her version of a 10, because he was good.
Yeah.
Right.
So then Lori's getting ready for bed, you know, and then she hears a noise. But of course, you know.
Well, she hears a noise, and then she hears footsteps. Like she's upstairs in the second floor of this giant house, and she hears someone just walking outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then
now it's morning.
Yep. And she is by the pool, right? And she is
This woman was super hot, by the way.
Oh,
they had her in some kind of they had her in some kind of bikini. And
so basically with this movie, there's pretty much something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just turning on my reading light here because I can't read my notes. Ah, here we go. So
something for everyone, Peter.
So like if you like hot men, hot women, men hot that young. Look like Alan.
If you like weird looking men in sunglasses,
yeah,
and
like Eric Roberts,
a
ride
mop
or
of
die.
Gray hair.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's something for everyone in this one.
Right. So then, they're talking, and then she's talking about like her relationship with creepy Mark, and she talks about how she dropped out of college because Creepy Mark basically wanted her to, but then she went back and she got her degree. Right. And so then Alan throws out the, "Want to see my painting?"
Yes, I laughed at that. I said, "Hey, do you want to?" He had a voice kind of like, "Hey, you want to see my paintings?" And there was something funny about that. It tickled me.
And it's a, but so we see his paintings, and they're actually pretty good. And Lori actually wants to buy one. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "No, I'll just give it to you." Which I thought, okay, that's good game. She likes it, you give it to her, good game.
And you have to value your work as an artist.
I agree.
There's too many examples of that, of people not valuing, you know, themselves as artists or valuing their work.
For instance, Eric Roberts.
Right.
Well, how much do you think Eric Roberts got paid for this? I'm thinking triple scale.
So basically, is this why they couldn't afford to have any indoor shots at the college?
Because
right.
It all went to fade.
I think Eric Roberts gets triple scale, which would be about $2,700, and I think he worked
for
one day, and he got
worked more than one day. He was actually in a number of scenes in this. I bet he worked a week.
Oh no!
Yeah, I bet he worked a week.
No.
Yeah.
I think they shot this in probably.
Oh, that's true. They probably shot. He probably shot 2 days.
Maybe. I'm thinking it was. I'm still thinking it was a day. Maybe.
Okay.
2 days. On triple scale, then he got almost $6,000 out of this. Not quite. That's my guess.
He made more than that.
Oh, and then at the end, though, Alan told her to take the painting and you could pay me later. And I thought, I know what that payment's going to be.
Her tuna salad.
Right.
What's that, Les? Yeah. You're referring to it as tuna. I find it unappealing. I'm misinterpreting this.
Les and I find it unappealing, too.
Well, look, that's...
Okay, so then, did they confront each other at this point?
Well, Mark shows up at the house. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark's at the house, and he's like honking his horn for her to come out.
Oh, yeah, he has to honk because he can't knock anymore.
Right.
And she wasn't answering any of his calls.
So then we cut to the evening.
Wait, well, first of all, Mark.
Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, this
why
is a good
scene. Why was Mark there? You remember why Mark was there?
For the water bill?
Yeah. Well, because water and cable, they actually have to go. They actually personally have to go together to the water and the cable company in order to transfer information.
Which is not a thing. That's not a thing.
I disagree.
Yeah.
They have to go together hand in hand in order for this to be done. That's how utilities are handled.
Mark was just trying something to get her, you know, in his clutches so he could plead his case.
But
well, he failed.
I like this scene because they're out there fighting, and then Alan comes out shirtless, I might add, and just sort of saunters over. He's like, "Oh, hey, I'm Alan." Like it was a total like cock block move. I enjoyed it.
Right. Yes.
And it's funny because next to Alan, Mark looks like a pile of canned ham.
I actually am starting to genuinely feel bad for the actor that played Alan.
They did him no favor.
Oh, Alan. No, Alan is the guy.
I mean, not Alan, Mark.
Sure, you're talking about Mark.
Yeah. And I feel bad for Alan because Alan had to be in a scene with Mark who was not attractive.
Okay.
No.
So then, the next scene, it's night. And we see skulking. And the skulker is Alan. And he walks into the house, and he walks up the stairs. And he goes to the bookcase, and he puts like a gadget in the in a book. Mm-hmm. And then he, on his way out, looks at himself in the mirror and checks himself out. And then Lori comes home and he hides.
Yeah. He's dressed like he's at ballet practice.
Right. Well, okay, he was, I love, in every scene, he was either shirtless or he had a tank top.
I guess he's constantly working out, so he's always in some kind of workout clothes.
I noticed he was either shirtless or had a tank top, and even when he had scenes where he had another shirt, he would take the shirt off in the scene and have a tank top.
That was one of the few things about this movie that was not flawed.
Not at all. I wanted more of that.
Okay, so I'm looking up the guy that played Mark on IMDb. It's an actor named William McNamara, but there's more than one William McNamara, and I am nearly certain that the one that they linked to this movie is not the same guy that played Mark.
Oh.
Because this guy is very handsome.
Oh, unless, no.
Like, absurdly so, like, should be on a soap.
Unless they did like the Charlize Theron thing, and, like,
oh man!
Do you think that he went into it? He's like so good looking, and he's like, no, this is gonna win me the Emmy.
Eric Roberts is in this movie. He was nominated for an Oscar. Right? I gotta really up my game.
Eric Roberts, Vivica Fox, and me.
so Kerr, did you like this part?
Yes.
Because do you like this part? Because she's then in her underwear.
Right.
And
well, I mean, how?
She's got a great body.
Yes. I sit there like a 13-year-old pervert masturbating through this whole movie. And finally... Okay. No, that's it. Yes, it was very classy and well done.
Okay, so she freaks out. She hears a noise and she freaks out. And
what is Jason up to? We can see each other here, and Jason is like, he's doing some data entry work.
I'm doing a deep dive into William McNamara. Now, that first photo was not him, but the others are him. He's been in a ton of stuff and actually was cute. I don't know what was going on with him in this movie. He's been acting since he was a teen. He was in like a movie with, like Corey Haim and Feldman.
When he was a teen. Dream a Little Dream?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in a zillion things.
Well, good. Then I don't feel bad for
giving
him a hard time.
I don't. Well, now I feel like I've been appearance shaming him.
Oh, well, that appearance needed to be shamed.
Yeah, yeah.
He pulled it off. It's part of his performance. You go, Mark.
Yeah.
We're not done with you yet.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, so they hear – Lori hears a noise in the house. She freaks out. She wakes Ricky up. They run outside, and then Alan runs outside too and pretends like he heard something as well.
What happened? Then, wouldn't he be somewhat suspicious?
Yeah.
They're not suspicious of Alan at all.
And so then Alan's like, I'll go check it out, and pretends to go and check out the situation.
I'll go pretend to check it out. I mean, I'll go check it out.
Okay, so this next part, they're getting an alarm system. And
yeah, because there's panties. Remember? When she walks up to her bedroom. There's panties strewn about.
Right. Which, then that I saw, made no
there
sense.
Was like a little ad. No, it was weird. Then there was like a little ad that came on. It was like Lifetime put up an ad. It said the next movie coming up was a movie called Patient Killer.
Oh.
It's a patient killer. You know, it's not one of those killers that wants to kind of rush through things. They're willing to wait around for a little bit and then have a killing. It's a patient killer. It's a killer with virtue. So that might be the next one. That might be a movie for us in the future.
One of my favorite jokes ever on The Simpsons was the I forget what movie it was that was coming to town to film, but it was like a superhero movie and Bart was going to be in it or want to be it, but it was like outside the hospital on the sign. It said, "Our extra patients make patient extras."
Oh man.
So then,
why did this house not have an alarm before, by the way?
Seriously.
This was like a giant mansion.
Yes.
They're just behind on the times.
Like, at the very least, have a Nest camera or something.
Well, if the mother doesn't call to check on her daughter, what makes you think she'd have an alarm?
Although, like, if she's not ever home, all the more reason to have an alarm.
And the cable company, you actually have to go there with the other person in the house to get things changed.
Right. Maybe that's it. It's too much of a barrier to entry to get the alarm. Like, we've got to go to the alarm company to have them fill out our information before they'll come install it.
These folks are just warming up to unscrew the fax machine at this point. So, man.
Lori invites Alan over for dinner. Alan gives Lori the painting, and so she invites him over for dinner, and then Ricky is like going out on a date, and Lori's like, "Okay, don't come home with any hickeys." Your mother will kill me. So Alan and Lori were having dinner, and then I wrote Alan had good game because he offered to clean.
Yeah.
And a lot of women find men who clean very sexy. Like, if you offer to clean up, they find it very sexy.
They do? Well, that's my move then. I'm always cleaning.
Do the dishes.
I'm doing that stuff. Hear that, ladies?
So then later, we find out that Alan
vacuum
put a camera, a video camera, in the book.
Yeah, and that book is very obvious. Like, I assume he supplied the book as well. Like, he didn't actually rip out the pages. It's this giant book. Like, wouldn't you notice? Like, I don't remember placing that giant book on the shelf.
Like a giant hardcover, like Encyclopedia Britannica amongst a bunch of like romance novels.
Yeah.
Right. So, and he's
a giant.
And he's just sitting there watching her undress. And then so the next scene. Oh, then we see Gross Mark. And he's in the yard with a tennis racket. And then he's like, okay, now we got to go take care of the cable bill. That's in your name, too.
The water company. This is the water bill.
Yeah, was the water bill.
The way
yeah.
utilities are run, this is the water bill.
And then, that's right.
Water bill. Water company.
And then he tells
to yell our demands down a well.
Right. So then Mark tells Lori he doesn't like Alan, which is, he's got good instincts.
I don't like any of these people.
No, I don't. And. Yeah, at this point,
Mark's seeing a therapist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark is seeing a relationship therapist. I started to think, maybe Mark's okay. He's making an effort.
Yeah, he's making an effort, and the relationship therapist says that he has commitment issues. You think?
Right.
See, I think that's good game. The guy's saying he's getting some help, so there you go.
I don't know that that's good game, because that's saying that you need help to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's post-game.
Right.
I don't know why it strikes me so funny. It's just ridiculous.
So then Eric Roberts shows up.
Wearing his sunglasses.
I'm so excited. Well, not at the tennis court. This is at the school.
At the school. But yeah. I wrote, like, he's kind of skulking around, too. Eric is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he sees the painting. Oh, they're looking at the paintings online.
Yeah, Lori's kind of like stalking Alan's website.
Yeah, which is fine. Which I'm all about that.
Yeah.
And so then So then Eric walks up. Oh, his name is Floyd.
Right.
And so they're looking at the pictures online, and he says, like, these pictures look familiar. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote, he kind of hits on her, too, again.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure, because he says, like, would you like to go to Chicago with me?
Yeah, it
and
was
– I thought that at first, too, but not really. She didn't, like – she didn't take it that way. She almost took it like he was, like a – I don't know, like a father or grandfather.
That, and that's what I said earlier. It's like, I think their intention in making this relationship was that he was kind of a mentor to her, but because they didn't really make that clear at the beginning of the movie, the first few times they interact, you're like, is he, I'm not sure, is he hitting on her? Are they colleagues?
Right.
Or is a little both?
Yeah. Well, he got a little too close to her, too, which is
yeah.
strange.
Well, he couldn't see her with his sunglasses on.
Yeah. I think he's propped up by the craft service table when he's shooting these scenes.
Right.
And that way, as soon as they say cut, he could turn around, he could grab a Pop-Tart.
And a handful of M&Ms.
And he's nourished for the day.
You got to have M&Ms from craft services.
Yeah.
You do, yeah. M&Ms, man. You got to get stuff you don't get at home.
Right. Oh, so the next scene, Lori is going for a swim in the pool.
Mm.
And then Alan comes out for a swim, which I had no problem with at all. Mm-hmm. And then Alan offers to put suntan lotion on Lori's back.
Mm.
And then they're talking, he starts giving her a back massage, tells her that she deserves better, which is true. And then the next scene, she's teaching outside again.
Right.
And the kids are sitting on the grass.
Her students were kind of hot, too.
Really?
Yeah, the kid she interacted with earlier in the movie was pretty cute, and he was in this scene, and then the other kid in the class was really hot. And I can say that because they're college age.
Right. They're 18.
At least.
Oh, so then...
They have a huge discussion about the metamorphosis.
Yes. And how identity somehow, is everything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, and I
read that book.
I pointed this out in a previous movie. It's a big pet peeve of mine when a mediocre movie starts talking about what is regarded as a good piece of literature and how they start explaining that story of the good piece of literature, and they're trying to use it as a metaphor for what the actual piece of art you're watching is.
Right.
Well, they did it here.
Yeah.
So,
lazy.
So then Janice shows up, and she's all like, hey, you know, hey, girl, I like him. You better get some. And it's like she's egging her on.
Oh, I have another complaint about this college,
too. Yeah, she said she's going to do – okay, go ahead. What's your complaint?
Because it was right before Janice showed up. Did you notice that there was like a bell that kept ringing when class was over?
Yes.
That's not a thing in college, is it?
No,
college, like the professor just watches the clock and they're like, okay, it's time to go now. The bell was like all over the entire campus, like a class was ending.
Yeah, like high school.
Yeah.
Are we sure? Were we sure this was college?
Yeah.
They mentioned
it.
They specifically referred to it as college. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, they specifically said like more than once that it was college.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. It's very strange. This movie exists in a very strange world.
and then Janice crosses the boundary too.
What did she do?
Because then they're talking about like Alan, and then Janice is like, "Well, if you don't go for him, I will." And it's like, "Geez, thanks."
She
friend.
Says, "Sign me up." And then she said. She said, if you don't ask him out, I'm going to do obscene things to him.
Yeah.
Makes the mind go wild.
So it's like, you better get to work or, you know, I'm going to take your man.
I wonder what she considers obscene.
Oh, Janice, I think, you know, this is Lifetime,
Yeah,
so
this
I'm
is
sure we can
Lifetime.
get down and dirty. So then we're back at home, and
Yes.
Alan is watching. There's like a whole lot of stalking going on, because Alan is watching Lori, but then Ricky is looking up at Alan's apartment. So everyone's stalking.
Well.
And then, Ricky, I wrote, she has a look on her face like she wants to get in some trouble. And so then, okay, and then, okay, so then Alan's getting ready to shower, and then Ricky just walks in his house. She just walks
He left his
in.
laptop on the bed, which he was watching
Which,
surveillance
okay,
footage.
right, but when you're at home in your house alone,
Right.
and you live by yourself, you can leave your laptop out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I
because
leave my when I'm watching surveillance stuff of like, hidden cameras I secretly set up, I have a right to leave it out.
I
You know,
agree. I agree.
I'm home alone.
So then Ricky walks in the house, and okay, kids, if you're gonna be nosy, don't get caught. I'm here for nosiness, but you know, be sneaky about it. Because she's gonna look at the laptop and he catches her, right?
Yeah.
And then
And he slams it shut just in time.
right.
Yeah.
So then I have here, so Eric and his glasses are
Oh, I
on
missed that.
campus.
Eric Roberts, yeah.
Yeah. And so his goofy sec so then all of a sudden a goofy secretary shows up.
Yeah, we've never met her before.
Well, I wrote a bookish woman. Some bookish woman.
And she's
Yeah,
very
we never
goofy
saw her.
though. Like she was
Yeah,
like
yeah.
comic relief, I guess, or supposed to be.
Oh,
So
boy.
because she hands him a file, like she hands him a transcript, but she's like, oh, hoo-hoo-hoo! Like, you know, like she's doing character work.
She made quite an impression. She was probably like the girlfriend of the director or something like that. And she's like, I want to have a part.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, do whatever you want. Am I doing too much? No.
I'll write you in a scene.
And she's like, with
No,
the
you're
Eric
just fine, honey.
Roberts?
Just get. Oh, can I act with Eric Roberts?
Right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Don't you want me? Yes, I do. Yeah.
And then Eric is like tells her like, okay, keep this a secret. This is our
Yeah.
secret.
It's a transcript for a place called Warren College. We don't know whose transcript it is. He won't tell her why he asked for it. We don't know what Warren College is. We know nothing
Right.
about any of this.
We know nothing.
And we never find out. We kind of do.
I looked up Eric Roberts, and he has made up with Julia Roberts, his sister.
Oh, that's
They were
good.
estranged for many years,
I did
and then
not
he
know they were
showed up to the
strangers.
hospital. She had twins, and he showed up to the hospital, and I guess she let him in. And then he, at that moment, they were no longer estranged.
Because she's probably like, damn, you'll do anything. You'll do any gig that comes up.
I heard they email each other, so they got that going on. But
That's
he's a lot older
nice.
than her. He's like 9 years older, and they didn't grow up together.
Yeah,
I like his
They as their
daughter.
parents split. Yeah.
I like his daughter on American Horror Story.
Emma
Yeah.
Roberts, yeah.
Okay. So then, who was taking tennis lessons? I have her tennis lessons.
I think, well, Ricky and Alan were playing, so he was probably teaching
Okay.
her. And also, so when she had snuck into his place, she played it off as, oh, I came up to see if you wanted to play tennis. So,
Right.
and then they cut back to this scene. This is a total, like, continuity thing, but he changed his socks. I just happened to notice that like, because in the other scene, because he was about to get in the shower, he was wearing the same outfit and he had like one pair of socks on, and on the tennis courts he had different socks on. I don't know why I noticed that, but I did.
And then I'm getting weird vibes from Ricky, because does Ricky want them to be together or does Ricky want him?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, Ricky can't make up her mind.
Yeah. I never thought Ricky wanted him.
Because I was getting that feeling. Okay. So then Ricky's bored, and Lori is having a chat, and you know, she's got to find a place to live soon, and Ricky's like, you know, well, you can always go to the guest apartment.
Ooh.
And then okay, so then I have Lori and Alan, and what they were with reaching for cookies? What?
They're having some sort of romantic dinner in the house.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're eating fortune cookies. Yeah, okay. and they're doing that thing like they read it and they say in bed.
And while they're doing this, Mark is stalking them.
Yeah.
So
he's like peering through the reeds outside.
Right. So at this point, everybody's literally stalking each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then Alan asks her to dance because they have like this romantic music going, and then they start mm-hmm. kissing. And then he's like, then Alan's like, I should go now. And then he goes home and he takes his shirt off. And then we find out that there's a twist in this whole movie. Alan was hired by Mark.
Yeah.
To romance her.
Right.
And then dump her so she'd go running back to him.
Yeah. This is the most convoluted plot and plot point I think I've ever seen in a movie.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. What a bad plan.
Well, I mean, actually, I could kind of get behind it.
Now, like, in terms of, like, storytelling, it makes sense in a way, but like, it's so unbelievably absurd. Like, if you think of the steps it would actually go into pulling this off in reality.
Well, okay, so on Young and the Restless,
I said in reality.
Yeah,
on Young and the Restless,
this is Les's point of reference. Okay,
on Young and the Restless, many years ago, Jill Abbott wanted to get back at Kay Chancellor because Kay Chancellor and Jill Abbott hated each other. And so Jill Abbott got a homeless man and she gave him a makeover and had him woo Kay Chancellor.
Woo.
So that she could fall in love with him and then he could dump her. But then they really fell in love.
Now, this homeless man also manage to go to the sister and convince her, hey, I should rent the room that you have available in your attic that isn't an attic?
No, but he found out that he was Danny Romolotti's long-lost dad.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, man.
But then Kay Chancellor was kidnapped by her evil twin Marge, the waitress, and that was a whole other story.
Yeah, very grounded in reality.
Yes.
Well, you certainly proved me wrong.
Yeah.
I
stand corrected.
Now,
convoluted plan at all.
Valid plan.
Totally viable.
Any listeners out there if you want to win back your ex, this is a valid.
Yeah. Well, nobody's
plan.
Even
though
listening
that
they've paused the podcast so they could go post their Craigslist ad for seeking actors.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So during this talk, we find out that Alan is like an ex-convict.
Yeah.
Because Mark tells him, if you don't watch it, you're going to go back to jail.
Just like the Metamorphosis, he's, you know, it's a different kind of image he's putting out.
Now, they don't explain to us how they met, how he hired him, how Mark hired him.
Well, yeah, he kind of did. Mark is a defense attorney.
Yeah.
And, oh, I guess we kind of find this out a little later.
Oh, I missed that part, though.
Yeah, later. They explain that later, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and Mark, at some point...
Oh, go ahead.
I zoned out a couple of times.
So did I.
Okay.
I missed the kiss with Alan and Lori. And then I woke up, and then they talked about it. I'm like, I'm not rewinding. I know what's happening.
I have my eyes propped open like that guy from Clockwork Orange watching this thing.
So basically, Alan is a con man. And... Mm-hmm.
And Mark's trying to convince Alan to move on. He's like, you know, she doesn't want to be with you. Move on.
Right. So then we see Eric, and he is like, he's in the boonies. Like, he still has his sunglasses.
You missed a big thing. Yeah. Alan beats Mark.
Oh, my God, that's right. I'm sorry.
Beats him with a bat, and he kills him.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is an important point.
Alan did kill Mark. Yes, that.
Alan kills Mark.
Okay. Yes. Sorry about that. Yes. Very important plot point. And then Eric went to the boonies after he was hit. After Mark was hit in the head with a bat.
We also find out that Alan's name isn't really Alan.
No.
It's his name. His real name is Kurt.
Yeah, uh-oh.
It is.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
But the fact that he's not really Alan explains why Eric Roberts recognized those paintings as well.
Yes.
Ooh.
So then Eric, he goes, okay, if you were in the boonies and you drove up and you saw a guy with a chainsaw, wouldn't you kind of... be a little careful.
Eric Roberts' sunglasses were too dark and he couldn't see the chainsaw.
No, Eric Roberts was perfectly safe because there was nobody else in the scene with him. Nobody was going to get in that frame with him. Honestly, it was like he was so disconnected.
So there's this guy. Yeah, so this guy, like, you know, a tough-looking guy.
Chainsaw.
Was like working a chainsaw. And then
no, I wouldn't stick around for that.
And then so then Eric asks for Alan, and then the guy goes and calls Alan. Like, he's like, you better get here. We've got a problem. And then we cut back to Lori teaching outside again.
Yeah,
the school.
And then I wonder if Janice ever works, because she's always popping up. And then we see that she notices that Lori is very happy.
She drives Uber or something.
Janice is encouraging her to go for it.
I almost want there to be a completely separate, like, spin-off movie about this college, and we find out that it's just, like, a big scam. They're, like, scamming students to go there, and they don't have any actual access to the facilities, but they convince students that they're, like, new agey. We do everything outdoors here.
Exactly. Because they not one thing
it's actually,
inside.
No.
It's actually not even a building. They're fooling people, and they're saying, please don't walk behind either, because it's just a big exterior just propped up like it's a school play.
And they could have like a very meta ending where like the camera pulls back really far and we find out that
that's
they're like not even on a college campus, they're just in like Central Park.
Oh, like the ending of The Hills.
That would be cool. That'd be better than this. It's you know, it's a good idea.
Oh, so then Alan shows up at, like, the cabin, like, the chainsaw cabin.
Yeah.
And then, I'm writing here, Eric, you need to go.
No, he's fine. Totally relaxed. He's, like, smiling. smiling. Everything is saying, what's going on here?
He was stoned the entire movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting that vibe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm getting that vibe.
Allegedly.
What a job, huh? Yeah, allegedly, yeah. You mind if I have a... Sure. It's one of this writer. What a gig.
So then, did was there anything uncovered at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Eric Roberts is questioning Fake Alan about the artwork. He's like, you know, your artwork's very similar to this student I had 20 years ago in like South Carolina or at that Warren College or whatever. And he pulls out like side by side photos. And then Alan tries to play it off. Oh, and the student that did the artwork died in a car crash 20 years ago. Alan tries to play it off of like, oh, you know, my webmaster, like, I don't really know him. He probably just uploaded that on his own. Like, why would the webmaster? First of all, this plan of Marx is so absurdly convoluted that Marx, like, you know what you need to legitimize the fact that you're a painter, even though you're not? You're going to put a website together.
Right.
Go on Squarespace. Why did he need a website to be? And then on the website, which is how it's pointed out that Floyd found Alan, the address of the cabin is on the website.
Yes, kids. If you're gonna pull a caper, don't put your real address.
You don't need the website to begin with.
Oh boy, that's true. Yeah, why you're just pointing it out even further that you more it's more obvious that you have a scam going.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, check out my website because you could see for sure that I have a scam.
Yeah, and that's here, and I'll tell you the address where to come find me. That's not weird at all.
Come on by, so I can tell you a real convoluted story and make myself even more guilty.
Because even if Alan were a real artist and he had a website to promote his art, he wouldn't put his home address on there to tell people,
right,
hey, stalkers, come find me.
Exactly. 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 But then Alan...
This is my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, okay,
This is
on.
My favorite part of the movie when Eric Roberts leaves twice. If you watch the movie, there's a shot of Eric Roberts. He just gets up, he starts to leave. And then they go back and they have a shot of shot of Alan or whatever, and then it goes back, and Eric Roberts, and he's staying there again. He leaves again, so he left. He left twice.
Jeez,
that's it.
And then we find out that Alan said that the reason he got caught was his partner's fault. But I was trying to figure out, was he passively, aggressively talking to the bald guy, the chainsaw guy, and saying, it was your fault that I got caught, or was it a different partner?
I think he was passive aggressively saying that.
Okay. Because, yeah, he's like, it's my partner's fault that I got caught.
They never even explain how these two are partners.
Right.
It's never addressed how they even know each other. Like, I assume it's from jail, but they never said.
No idea. And what is the place? What it was like a train station?
It was a house. I think the bald guy and Alan actually lived there, like they were roommates or whatever. Okay. But Alan was, you know, for the scheme, was, you know, at the attic that isn't an attic, creating a website on Wix, and putting the address on there. By the way, if you would like to advertise Wix or Squarespace, we'd be happy to have you.
Oh, please, yes. Please. Okay, so the next scene, Lori is worried because Mark, after all of his assholiness and bugging the crap out of her about going to pay these goddamn bills, he doesn't show up after, like, just annoying her about this.
Well, his water got shut off.
Yeah.
So he wasn't messing around.
And so she's worried. Lori's worried because she's like, where's my gross ex? And
then Alan's hanging out a window. He's going to go have dinner with clients. What clients? Yes. You're painting upstairs.
And then the part that we have been waiting for, the dramatic part that turned this movie, the turning point in this movie, mm-hmm. Eric Roberts.
What Sid Field would call a plot point.
Eric Roberts gets mowed over by
Yes, and I'm
car.
Convinced they did not shoot this at night. This was shot day for night. They shot it during the day, mm-hmm. made it look like night, because I don't think they had Eric Roberts hanging around until the sun went down.
Yeah. And guess what? He was mowed over by that car, and his glasses stayed on.
Well, this is what this is one of the parts where I kind of zoned out for a second. So I knew that he got mowed over. I don't know what happened, but I woke up, and then Alan is moving Mark's body into place or whatever. But I thought that he was moving Eric Roberts. I was like, oh, his glasses are off. I couldn't really tell. And then later we see. Later that, oh, that was Mark, that wasn't. And so it's like, yeah, we never see Eric Roberts' eyes, ever.
No.
And then Alan makes it look like Mark committed suicide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because apparently Mark doesn't have a passcode on his phone.
No.
And then Alan, fakes being hurt.
But okay, so he pushes the car.
Right.
The car explodes. We never actually see an explosion. We just see there's a yellow light on Alan's face.
Right.
That's how they get away with that.
Yeah. He basically made it look like Mark drove the car off a cliff or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we find out that Eric Roberts, his glasses saved him because he's still alive. He didn't die.
Yeah.
He just has broken bones.
And we realize that scene that opened the movie, where Vivica Fox is there reviewing footage, is of the moment where Floyd is getting hit by that car.
And then we see the scene where Vivica and her horrible wig is looking at the footage, and then Lori walks up and says, I know who this is, it's Mark. Mm-hmm. And then it's now time for the investigation. So we go back to Mark's place, and I wrote, Vivica means business.
Her name, by the way, was Detective Valdez.
Yeah.
Ooh. Valdez.
Yes. And she could obviously very, very well have a Hispanic sounding name. Maybe she's married to a Valdez, but it just seemed weird that they didn't really explain that.
Right. At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
But you know what? On the other hand, it's 2019, and why should you have to explain that?
Yeah.
They've got a lot more things to explain.
Yes. So many more things.
Oh, you mentioned that Alan is acting like he was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he act like he was hit by a car? Is that what it was?
Yes. Because he blames it on Mark. He's like, I got hit by a car, and I'm like, I'm not sure because I don't know him that well, but I think it was Mark.
Thank
you. So then, the investigation starts, and then they find out about the camera, and then we get that intel on Alan, and it comes out into the open that Alan is not Alan. He's Kurt. And
his name is Kurt Krueger.
Well, we find this out because Eric Roberts, since he's still alive, he's in the hospital.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right, with his glasses.
He's got a bandage over one eye and the sunglasses over the bandages.
How could you not love this?
He made
this movie.
He made an actor's choice, and he stuck with it. Mm. He committed to those glasses.
I think he is great in this movie. I hope that we watch another movie with him in it. I can't get enough.
I would watch a weekly series with this character.
Oh, I totally would.
Yeah.
He's in like 100 movies last year. I want to watch every one.
Like, if Lori Loughlin can do an entire series for Hallmark Movies and Mysteries where she plays a detective that solves crime through garage sales, I think Eric Roberts can solve crime through being a professor that's kind of creepy and always wears sunglasses.
I would watch that.
I would totally tune into that.
Yeah.
I'm
on board. Whoever wants to produce that.
I would totally watch that.
Crackle. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So then we find out that Mark, or at least Lori finds out that Mark is dead. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And then Ricky was kind of dumb because she's like, well, what's going to happen? Are we going to have to go to the witness protection program?
Oh, how dumb.
Yes.
They're going to go to the witness protection program. Isn't that like if you're a mob informant?
Yeah.
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 No, you're not going to go to the witness protection. This is not good, fellas.
So then the cat's out of the bag. Ricky and Lori are talking, and then Alan is hiding with a syringe. Yeah.
Not hiding very well either.
No.
With a syringe.
He looks over and sees him.
And then he runs.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to shoot up Eric Roberts because Eric Roberts knows that it's him.
Yeah.
And so then, so then he goes back to his friend, and we missed something. He actually had an ex-girlfriend. Oh wait. Oh, he went back to his friend, and he was like. And he's yelling at him, and he's like, this is what happened with Miranda. And then they're arguing, and we, I guess, learn that there's another woman, that there was another woman, and that's how he ended up in prison. And then he shoots Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Shoots him.
Well, what's funny is the friend is basically telling Alan, hey, you've got to off this chick, like, this has gone too far or whatever, Eric Roberts or whatever, and he gives him a gun. He's like, you know what to do. And so instead of, like, going to kill Eric Roberts, Alan just takes that gun and shoots the friend.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we're back at the house.
It was at this point, by the way, that I wrote in my notes, this movie isn't properly bonkers.
No.
It's just not bonkers in the way that I want it to be.
It has its moments.
So then we're back in the living room, and Ricky's pouting, and she doesn't believe that he did it.
She's dickmatized.
She literally says that she thinks Alan's a good guy that wouldn't hurt anyone.
But he's in really good shape.
Right. So then, wait a minute, you guys, in my notes, I wrote dickmatized.
Of course you did.
You said dickmatized.
But are you referring to Ricky or yourself?
No, Ricky.
Yeah.
Because I wrote she's dickmatized without anything even happening.
Yeah.
I learned that word from you guys.
Okay, so then Ricky looks. So then Ricky sees Alan in the bushes.
In a tree.
And what does Idiot do? She goes out there.
Yeah, that's not suspicious. I don't know where to go with this. And then he chloroforms her. Old school.
Like, where did he get the syringe? Where did he get the chlor? Like, and also, like, that was his plan all along. It's like, I'm just going to chloroform people. He just had that at the ready?
Yeah, well,
that's like a backup plan.
He had a syringe.
But that made a little bit of sense because he was at a hospital.
I guess. I mean,
where do you,
you know,
buy chloroform? Where do you buy chloroform? Can you get it at Rite Aid or I'm thinking about chloroforming something? No, I'm not, but
because Postmates. They always have it.
Do they sell it? Is like an over-the-counter thing?
I will look.
Yes.
Let's take a look.
And now, my Google search history, my Google search history will have me say, where can one buy chloroform?
I just imagine the ads you're going to get.
Right. I know. Right.
Oh, where do you, and of course, Google filled it in. They knew what I was looking for. Where do I buy chloroform?
Okay. So where do you?
Oh.
Yeah.
You could buy lab grade chloroform from Lab Alley. From Carolina Biology, from on Etsy, there's something called Go to Sleep Spray.
Where?
On Etsy.
Sleep Spray?
Really?
It says Go to Sleep
on Etsy.
Spray.
Well,
I need to look at this listing now.
You can get it on you can get it on
chloroform companies would like to add.
Go to Sleep Spray will gently help you fall asleep and stay asleep. 10 minutes before bed, spray 3 to 5 times out of the bottom of each foot. Oh, see, this isn't chloroform. This
is chloroform yourself to get
it's
a good
like, it's like magnesium and chamomile and lavender. It's like all like, but it's just funny that that's what comes up when you're looking for chloroform.
Huh.
That's crazy. You can drug yourself. You can drug yourself to go to sleep.
Wow. I can also have somebody punch me in the face real hard and just knock me out, and I got a good 8 hours sleep.
Yeah.
I guess.
I guess you might have a headache.
Okay. Oh, so then he whisks Ricky away.
Ooh.
And then Alan calls Lori and then says, I have Ricky and you better do what I say. And I have a lot of instructions. He had a lot of instructions for her. Like a lot.
Well, he says, watching her. I'm watching you. I've got eyes everywhere.
And so then he's like, you know, go up. Open the heating vent, do my laundry, take my dry cleaning. Like, it was like a whole thing. And then Vivica, like, she's getting ready. So she grabs all the stuff. She's getting ready to leave. And she opens the door, and Vivica is there. And she makes an excuse. Lori makes an excuse that I was tidying up, but then wouldn't that be tampering with evidence?
It would, but also, why was Vivica in that house and Lori didn't know about it?
True. Right.
I thought they put in a security system.
Right,
yeah,
and this
exactly.
is the part. Okay, when they were doing the scene about the security system, I wrote a note saying, okay, remember this because this is going to come up later and something to do with the security system is going to like come into play. It did not.
It did not. It did not.
No. So then we find out that the person, Miranda, was Miranda Bailey. And I wrote, Dr. Miranda Bailey is on Grey's Anatomy.
I knew I recognized that name when they said that. I'm like, why does that name sound familiar?
And so they wrote, you know, Miranda Bailey went missing. And I went, yeah, because she's at Grace Sloan Memorial with Meredith and Correct, taking care of people. Because you know I love Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, this movie is only 2 or 3 years old, and Grey's has been on for, like, 18,000 years. They should have known that.
Right.
I'm surprised that the lawyers allowed that name to be used as the character in the movie.
Right.
Oh. Well, I think it's more, like, they have to clear it against real people with it.
They do, but I would also think that in terms of intellectual property – it's not like that was a character that was on one episode. That's a character that's been on literally every episode of that show.
Yeah, she's like the star. One of the stars.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
She's been on season one, episode one.
So then Alan takes Ricky to the woods. And I wrote here What did he find out because she was still on Mark's checking account?
Yes.
He found out some information because she was still on Mark's checking account.
I think he's sure if her name was on it still.
Yeah, because he's like empty out the accounts, and she's like, yeah. I don't know if I'm on the joint account anymore. He's like, oh, you are. I checked. How do you check that?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
Unless Mark wrote him a check.
Oh, well, it had like both their names on it.
No, he never got paid. He never got paid. Remember, good he said point. That. He said, yes. I never got paid.
Good point.
Okay. So
Alan has enough access to be able to look at people's financial records, but not to be able to take the money out of their accounts on his own. Got it.
Maybe he was just – maybe he was bluffing her just to make sure that, you know, she gives him the money.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm just trying to come up with something that makes sense where this is dire straits.
Nothing makes sense here.
So then – Alan has the gun, and he's pointing the gun to Lori, and he's like, you know, giving his monologue, like, I actually cared about you, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And while he's giving his monologue, all of a sudden, he gets hit on the back of the head, and it's Janice.
Janice from another planet. Yeah, she comes out of nowhere. She's walking behind him, and whack.
And then I wrote that. Then they were holding. She was holding the gun like Charlie's Angels.
Right.
And then, okay, now this I actually liked Lori because then Lori, like, they have a Lori. Janice hits him over the head. Then they have the gun. Like Lori and Janice have a gun on him. And then Janice is yelling at him, and Janice, to prove that she means business, shoots him in the arm.
Yes.
Yeah. Not messing around.
She's like, I am not messing around, and I'm going to shoot you to prove it. So then Lori runs off to find Ricky and gives Janice the gun, and then I'm like, Janice is holding down. I'm like, don't do it, girl. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, he's pretending. There's like, oh, he's pretending he's going to – he's like, I need help. I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, and he's like playing weak, and then he's like out. So she thinks he's dead, so she goes to check on him.
And he like gets her.
Yeah, he grabs the gun.
And I'm like, you idiot. You idiot.
What a bubble.
Don't you watch your own movies on your channel?
No,
you should know better
she
than
does
this.
Not.
Exactly.
She does not. She has yet to get cable because she hasn't gone to the cable company in person to sign up for service.
Right.
That's right. You have to personally go there. I guess if you want to like get a movie like on demand, like order a movie on demand in this world, you actually have to like drive to the cable company.
I guess
to get a movie.
It's like more cumbersome like than actually going to a theater. Born.
I'd like to get A Star Is Born. Okay, we're starting it in 5 minutes. You better hurry home.
Right. So then Lori finds Ricky just laid out in a field. And so she wakes Ricky up. Ricky is fine. And Ricky's like, oh, this is my first hangover. And then Alan shows up. And then he starts giving another monologue. I didn't think you had it in you. And he's like, yeah, I killed Miranda Bailey. And then he makes Ricky start like digging their grave. And then, you know, Lori is like, please don't hurt Ricky. You know, she's young. Take me instead. And then he gets hit on the head again. Janice redeems herself.
Yeah. Once again, walks behind him somehow. This is her thing.
Right. So then Alan and Lori, like, get up, and then they start fighting over the gun. And they're fighting over the gun, and they're tussling, and I guess Lori has been doing her aerobics because she, like, bested him and shot him.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Then the next scene, we see Lori and Ricky. They're jogging. Janice, of course, comes up and asks Lori if she's ready to start dating again. You know, don't let any grass grow under those feet. Then Eric shows up. He's still got his glasses on.
On crutches now.
No one else can shut.
And that was it.
Yeah.
He shows up. Yep.
That's it.
That's the end. That's it. And boy, was it. Was
something.
It ever it?
It was something.
It really was.
I don't know what to think. I was kind of enjoying it for a while, but then it went on too long.
Yes.
And
like I said, Eric Roberts, yeah, he stole the show.
It was far too convoluted. It was actually, there were so many, like, people spying on people, tricking other people. Like, it was, like, too many things to keep track of for something that was supposed to be mindless entertainment.
And I'm all, you know me, I'm all for skulking, I'm all for spying, shenanigans, capers, but they didn't follow through.
No.
Okay, you guys, guess what?
What?
I had a movie planned, but after our conversation, I found a whole new Hallmark movie to watch. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'm very excited about this movie after this episode.
Okay.
Okay. Get ready for this. The movie is called A Husband for Christmas. And this movie is like our Super Bowl. I can feel it. Because in this movie, the movie stars Vivica A. Fox, Jack Hay, Jason Shane Scott, who was Alan in this movie. Eric Roberts.
Really?
Wait, Eric Roberts again?
Yes.
Same cast?
Yes. Yes.
Wait, with the added bonus of Jack A, though.
With Jack A.
Wait, and Jack A.
Yes.
It's this movie with Jack
A. Is this a Lifetime movie or a Hallmark?
It's a Hallmark movie.
Really?
As we were chatting, I was like Googling and YouTubing. I've even checked it. It's on YouTube. It's actually the right movie because Hallmark has a lot of the Hallmark movies, it says it's a Hallmark movie, but then when you start the movie, it's actually something very different.
Yeah.
This is on YouTube for sure, because I checked. So it's A Husband for Christmas. So, Brooke and Roger, two graphic designers in a soon-to-be-merged company, help one another by agreeing to a loveless marriage of convenience in the process, Brooke gets to upstage her sister, who just announced her engagement to Brooke's ex-boyfriend.
This sounds like kind of a scandalous plot for a Hallmark movie, actually. Like, faking a marriage?
Who's Eric Roberts?
I hope he plays Santa.
Oh my god. I hope Eric Roberts is in this movie as Santa Claus.
So I'm going to look on YouTube again, because I looked on YouTube and it said, because I literally just put Hallmark movie Eric Roberts and it popped up.
Okay.
Oh, good.
It says here, Hallmark Movies, A Husband for Christmas 2017. Hallmark Christmas.
By the way, we never even addressed on this podcast that on the last episode, we ended it saying that we were going to watch one Lifetime movie, and we didn't watch that movie.
Oh, okay. And actually, the reason why is because of the very reason that I explained. The movie was suggested by our listener, Terry Foster, and we were supposed to watch The Wrong Cruise, and on YouTube, it had the wrong, not only did it have The Wrong Cruise, it had a picture of Vivica A. Fox on a cruise. Mm-hmm. But every time we looked, it was always a different movie.
So it was The Wrong Cruise.
See what I did there? And so We couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. And so this was actually a last-minute replacement. So I will continue to look for for the wrong cruise. And what's the other one that Terry suggested? Because they're both good. And they're both Vivica A. Fox movies.
It might have been a husband. There was a movie that she suggested that has Jack Gay in it, didn't she?
I know.
Because we did a whole tangent on Jack A one week, and that's yes. How her first suggestion came up, and we couldn't watch it for some reason.
Well, this will make up for it.
Okay.
I love it. It's like an all-star cast. It's like the only person that's missing is Lacey Chabert.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I'm very excited. Right. Very excited about this movie.
All right.
Yes. All right.
I'm there.
So, a husband for Christmas. Hopefully, it will still be there when we go to watch it.
Yes. And yes. And just so you guys know, I have still been searching for Lori Loughlin movies. I even went as far as going to look at When Calls the Heart reruns on demand. Mm-hmm. They even got rid of her episodes of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet you could purchase them because Hallmark does sell a lot of things on iTunes.
Right. I would actually bump down a little bit.
I'm not spending money to watch that.
Yeah.
But spend some money. So I've been looking for Lori. We're starting to receive requests. Sent us a message and they want us to watch more Hallmark movies with Will Kemp.
Okay.
And I Googled Will Kemp was the guy that was in the one Love and Chocolate where Lacey Chabert went to Brussels.
Yes.
She went to Belgium. Oh, yeah. He's the guy in that.
Yeah. I remember.
So there's been a request to have more movies with him in them.
Got it.
So I'm glad people are starting to request. Please make requests because I will do anything. I will do everything in my power to watch them. And we're happy to watch the movies that you request. The only reason why we wouldn't is if we can't find it.
I would love requests for Lifetime movies that are straight up bonkers. Like this, yes. Psycho Granny. What was the Michael Madsen one? Because that's the one that really solidified Lifetime as the place to be for me. Like, Michael Madsen and Eric Roberts' performances kind of rival each other.
Right. Exactly.
I wonder if they're in a movie together. They probably are.
They probably are.
That'd be two weeks from now.
And that would definitely be like a Lifetime. That would not be a Hallmark.
Yeah. You don't think Michael Madsen would be in a Hallmark movie?
Yeah, I doubt they'd cast him.
That would be something. Well, I don't know if they would spend the money on both Michael Madsen and Eric Roberts.
That's
true. Who do you think gets paid more? You think so? Yeah, probably.
But then again, Michael Madsen was in Kill Bill.
Natural Born Killers.
Michael
Madsen. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of Tom Sizemore. No. Michael Madsen.
I bet Sizemore makes more. And I'm not saying that to be funny. Sure. I bet he makes more than they both do.
Yeah. I'm now Googling and seeing if they are on a Hallmark movie together. Michael Madsen, Eric Roberts, Hallmark.
They're not Hallmark. They're Lifetime. Lifetime.
Let's see. Yeah. I'm going to do Hallmark first.
Okay. All right, while you do that, I'm going to look for more chloroform online here. See
where else no, they are not.
Now
let
any
me
because Hallmark executives out there.
I think, but in defense, I think that would be a lot of personality. You know, I think. I think, you know, separately they'd be fine, but together that would be a lot. That would be too much to handle.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I love that there's a lot of wrong movies that Eric Roberts is also
that's
in
for sure.
The Wrong Man.
Yeah.
He's in The Wrong Man. And Vivica A. Fox, I guess, I guess she's a big part of the A Wrong franchise as well.
Of course she is, yeah.
And I was yelling at my cat.
And I do love that The Wrong is a whole franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Psycho is a whole franchise.
Psycho. And Patient Killers. That was one. There was another ad for a movie. What was it? I don't know what it was. All yeah, right. it's I like it as well. Killer Grandma.
Eric Roberts has a lot of stuff on YouTube. Like,
I know.
You, yes.
All right. But, so we should probably wrap up here, boys, because we're just now searching the internet in real time.
Yes, I got to take a disco nap because I'm going out tonight.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Are you guys going out?
My cat's.
Yeah, I am.
My cat's running around the house screaming. So
I'm going to a surprise birthday party, but I can say that because the time this is released, the party will have already happened.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun.
Thanks. You too.
Surprise.
Les, how can people find us, Les?
Well, if you want to find us, you can find us on Facebook at a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast or on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark. I'm in the process of
Lifetime of Hallmark podcast.
A Lifetime of Hallmark podcast. Sorry about that.
No.
And Jason, you now have the Instagram password, so
I
you.
Do. After like months and months and months, finally,
I cracked the case. Yeah. Finally. And if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Kurt.
Hi. Because my cat's running around the house. I'm trying to control this. Animal control. Okay, KurtFitzpatrick.com, although I haven't been able to update it for a while. But you can look at CampusMartius.com. Oh, no, CampusMartiusTV.com, I believe it is. And that's where you can see my TV pilot I made called Campus Martius. So, and Les and I are going to be at Indie Fringe in August. So that's IndieFringe.org. I believe that is.
And that's August 2019 for anyone that might be listening in the future.
And Jason.
You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at BigShotJason.
Awesome. And since we're doing a little plug here, not only can you find me at the Indie Fringe in May, I will July 10th.
In August.
No, but July 10th, I will be at the Regina Fringe in Saskatchewan, in the middle of Saskatchewan, Canada. So if any Canadian listeners, you can catch me there. And I also, in July, will be in Minneapolis, and I have my monthly show called Workplace Drama. And that is going to be on July 19th.
You'll be at Indie Fringe in August.
And I'll be Indie Fringe in August. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll be Indie in August. So it's going to be a busy summer.
Sweet.
Busy. Anyway, guys, I guess it's Saturday night, so, you've got stuff to do.
All right.
Another Saturday night.
Yep. All right. So I will talk to you both next week.
Great. Bye.
See you
next week. Bye.